Hello and welcome to the show. It's been another momentous week in the Premier League this week with Thomas the Touchline Tuchel going head-to-head with Antonio Mind the Hair Conte at Stamford Bridge. We've also had Manchester United somehow being worse this week than last and Notts Forest well and truly back in the big time. Yes, it is truly a wonderful time to be alive because the football's on. Thanks for joining us in our respective living rooms as we rake over the coals of another weekend of action. We'll be testing our guest's football knowledge in the quiz that has the nation talking, asking who am I, and we'll have Mark Simmons' latest Sunday League saga. But let me introduce our distinguished guest. That's what it says here, lads. First, a regular on our show and the only one who can give us a perfect rendition of both Stand Up for the Mariners and Vivaldi's Gloria. It's Lloyd Griffith. And making his debut as a panellist on the Football Zone, it's BT Sport's very own Andrew Mensah. Morning, boys.
Hey, guys. Nice to see you.
Morning, mate.
Nice to see you. So, Andrew, what have you noticed this week?
So, I've noticed here, like, giving the players $1 million a week is not good for the club. That's what I've noticed this week. Because the way Mbappe's been moving at PSG, it's just like a sport Beverly Hills child. Like, there was one, he missed a penalty. He missed a penalty, yeah, and that normally people shy away and be like, cool, I missed this one. I'll come back the next game. Neymar went to get the second penalty, and like he tried to get Neymar to give him the penalty after he had just missed one. It's like, come on, bro, have some humility. And then, like, second one, it's like there was a counter-attack, right? Someone's on the right-hand side running down, and he's like wanting the ball on the left-hand side, and the guy doesn't pass to him. And he just, like, sacks it off. He just throws his arms up and walks back to the halfway line as if they've scored whilst the attack is still going on. But it's like, can you blame him, man? You can't blame him if you're giving someone that young that much money, man. I'll probably do the same.
I know what you mean. There is nothing that I like more, Lloyd, than sulking millionaires.
Are you looking at me? Because I'm sulking.
That is a fair point. What have you noticed this week, Lloyd?
Well, I've noticed that the new Man United manager, Erik ten Hag, basically didn't take his Man United players off at half-time and say, right, lads, let's change kits, okay? Let's blame it on the kits. And then we'll come out in the second half wearing a different kit. Because basically, what, they were 4-0 down at half-time? If you had changed kit at half-time, he had an excuse. Because what he's got to go out there now and go, oh, basically, we weren't good enough. We got beat by a very good Brentford side, which is not an oxymoron. I love Brentford. But he didn't. He just went out there and they drew 0-0 in the second half, which again is not a stat that you should be using. But if he had basically like done the Alex Ferguson thing, was it 1996 against Southampton?
Southampton.
They were 3-0 down at half time, okay. And then they won the second half 1-0, 89 minutes, I think it was. They scored a consolation goal. If Erik ten Hag had done that, I mean, he's got an excuse. Sure, they wouldn't sell any highlighter tops and they're still bottom of the league.
That top is horrendous as well, isn't it?
It's not great.
Great. I think the only way that would have worked, Lloyd, is if they'd have changed into a Brentford kit.
Maybe.
So, what piece of this weekend's Premier League action do I want to react to?
Yes. Well, that was Nathan Caton. He was reacting to what you said earlier, Lloyd. Brentford 4, Manchester United 0, the top story of this week. To be honest, Manchester United are the top story every week. That's right, the gift that keeps on giving. Sorry, Red Devils fans, but what do you want us to do? We try and mix it up, but your team always seems to find a way to barge itself into the nation's consciousness. after that thumping defeat at Brentford, where, by the way, they were 4-0 down after 35 minutes. Gary Neville said they played like an under-9 team. Lloyd, they do have a centre-half who would fit the size criteria for an under-9 team. I mean, shouldn't they have minimum height requirements for centre-halves, like fairground rides?
Look, mate, I'm 5'8 and 18 stone. I'm not going to throw any Premier League players under the bus at all. However,
he'd fit under the bus.
Had you put me Thank you. Had you put me in that team on Saturday, I genuinely wouldn't have been the worst player on that pitch. And the thing is, I don't really have any sympathy for Man United players. Obviously, it's not going well at the moment. And that's fine. I mean, everyone has, their kind of like weak moments and stuff. But as a Grimsby Town fan, last season, I had to go to Dover and Wealdstone away. Okay. So I've got absolutely no sympathy for Man United fans whatsoever.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm sensing that. Although I imagine in a couple of years, Man United may well be going to Dover and Wealdstone away. Andrew, 9 months after a heart attack and having once been a Brentford hero, the Brentford fans booed Christian Eriksen. Isn't that why football is the greatest sport on earth?
Yeah, it's the greatest, and I absolutely love it. And also, it's like, what do we expect from United? If their only strengthening is the 5'7" centre back and someone who actually died last year, like there's nothing like. What do we expect from them? However, though, I've realised they're playing Liverpool Monday. If they beat Liverpool, they go above Liverpool.
Wow!
So this is crazy right now. And Man United always do play. They always play well against Liverpool. However, I can't see them. I can't see them doing nothing with those boys.
No, you could have said if they beat Liverpool and also if there's peace in the Middle East. Because I'll be honest, that's more likely. Lloyd, Erik ten Hag said that he would have changed the whole team at halftime if he could. I mean, I do like that rule. A whole different team running out. It's like playing your Joker, isn't it?
Well, it's like a pre-season friendly, isn't it? And then, but in an actual Premier League game where he comes out in the second half. And like you're going, who's in goal? Oh, it's Heaton. Who's at left back? Trialist A. Who's at right back? Trialist B. He's just gone into the crowd and gone, seriously, we'll do a quick bleep test. Who wants it? I saw a tweet. I can't remember who tweeted it and said was it Sunday they played? No, Saturday they played, wasn't it?
Yeah, Saturday.
I saw a tweet on Saturday that said Saturday was the worst day in Christian Eriksen's life. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
Which, you know what I mean? Not a great day. It's just weird. I mean, they're playing out from the back and they don't. It just did not work at all. They're wearing these weird highlighter tops. The thing is, I really like Brentford. I think they're a lovely family-run club. And so they've become a little bit of a kind of like a team that I've liked to support the last few years. So
you've got to, though, Lloyd, isn't it? Because the team you actually support gives you stress. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to find someone else to champion.
Sorry, mate. I think your connection is dropping in and out. I didn't quite hear that, Andrew.
Anyway, Andrew, let's talk about the Manchester United owners, the Glazers. Right now, they're about as popular as Jerry Sadovitz at the Edinburgh Festival. I mean, obviously, you can't come and see Jerry, but you could come and see me every day at the Counting House. They leverage any chance to leaflet. They leverage the club to buy the club, Andrew. I mean, you can't do that in other forms of life. You can't leverage Marks and Spencer's nectarines to buy Marks and Spencer's nectarines.
It's mental, man. And it's mad how like that's just allowed to happen. Because like, in my lifetime, growing up, Man United have always been the big team. They've always done well. They've always got the best players. And to see the club just being run down right now, it's just like, it's so sad to see, man. And it's like, who do you blame? So it's like the players are playing whack, but it's like at the top of the business, it's just awful. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like, do they care? Is this like a banter thing for them? Like they just thought, let's just see what, we've got so much money now, let's just see what we can ruin. It's like, it's weird, like, to what's going on. I don't even get it, like.
Yeah. No.
And going back to your previous point, Ian, and I've thought this for a few years now, M&S Easy Peelers are, in my eyes, some of the best easy peelers on the market. The skin just comes straight off the orange.
Yeah. Well, okay, but then that's sort of the point, isn't it, really? Obviously, in my day, we didn't have easy to peel satsumas. Satsumas in my day were notoriously difficult, Lloyd. Honestly.
Oh, really?
Almost impenetrable.
Well, that's the 1800s for you. Okay, cool.
Ronaldo has been called a walking bad mood by some of the other players. I know comedians like that. He didn't even go over to the fans. Lloyd, I do feel a bit sorry for the fans. Assuming they've travelled from Manchester, they're 4-0 down after 35 minutes. Would you leave?
No, I mean, I always stay to the bitter end unless I've got to get to a gig or choir practice or something. So I usually do always stay until the very, very end. What I will say is I was in Manchester this weekend and I saw a lot of Man City tops. And I was like, this is, I can't believe this. I was like, there was so many, like it was unbelievable amount of Man City tops, like all day Saturday. And I didn't see one single Man United top. I know that they were playing away. So that's it. But I have to say, Manchester looks very blue at the moment. Yeah. And I do feel sorry for the Man United fans because I think there is also probably a little bit of shame in wearing a red top around Manchester or a highlighter yellow top around Manchester at the moment. Although, to be fair, if they're wearing a highlighter yellow top, they're probably like just essentially invisible, really, aren't they? So, yeah, I do feel sorry for Man United fans, but you've got to stay until the end. Do you know what I mean? It's like Ian Holloway said a few years ago in that interview. If you don't like it, don't come, but you stay to the end, all right? You stay to the end.
Okay, well, that is more of the wisdom of Ian Holloway. They sell them in little books, don't they, next to ones from the Dalai Lama, as I understand it. I mean, we have known for a while that things weren't right at United. Ralph Raniak said they needed open heart surgery, although I'd suggest Melisandre the Red Priestess might be more helpful. if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, I'm sorry, but I can't explain every joke on the show.
Sorry, so Ralph said they need open heart surgery and then the first player they sign is Christian Eriksen.
I mean, you know what?
Was it lost in translation there? He's mentioned heart surgery.
Is piled upon more irony. Meanwhile, at Villa Park, the two former midfield dynamos and never quite right together England partners, Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard, clashed in the BT Sport game on Saturday morning. Villa came out on top 2-1 and things are already looking a bit uneasy at Everton. Here are some Everton fans not having a good time.
You should be a football fan trying to dissect the wisdom of the first team coach, what he wants to do.
With Calvert-Lewin being injured and Richarlison being sold and not replaced yet, I feel like this could be a long struggle for us this season.
They need two centre forwards, they need two attacking midfield players. There's not enough threat. Hopefully the owner shells out another $600 million.
You can see it's not the same team as last year, so that brings me a bit more joy than losing. Normally we would have lost 2-1 and then it would have been all hell broke loose, whereas today I can see positives rather than negatives.
Not impressed. Not impressive. We need three or four players just to stay up, I think, this season. The last two games haven't been very impressed by Frank Lampard's management. We'll see how it goes. We've got to give him time. See how it goes.
Blimey. Andrew. It can't be much fun watching Everton at the moment. Do you think root canal work might be more pleasurable?
Just mad to me, this game shows me, is Gerrard the better footballer and manager?
I preferred watching him as a footballer, I think, but I don't think there's a lot in it, to be honest with you. Both of them, Lloyd, look under stress, don't they? Do you not think players like that, you know, they should be allowed to retire and live out their days in peace and solitude? You know, maybe like horses put out to pasture. I was going to say stud, actually.
I think they should be in the studio. I mean, just have them in the studio so that there's no real shame. But, you know, they obviously want to be, they want to be amongst it. I think, as those fans were saying, like, Everton just haven't bought anyone of note and they've lost quite a few players. Ooh. So they're going to struggle. And then with Stevie G, you know, taking out Tyrone Mings at the first game and they were just woeful, bringing him back in, it's made a massive difference. So, you know, they're both still in their early management career. You know, Matt, these careers can go on for 20, 30 years, you know what I mean? So it's still really early days.
Yeah.
But I do quite like the way that Steven Gerrard is managing. I think he's got a career, and you heard it here first.
It's interesting.
No one has said that before. It is true. Stephen Gerrard, while we're on the subject, he has tried to impose a bit of discipline at Villa Park. Although whether he's adopted the list of fines for various transgressions that was popular under a past regime is not entirely clear. I particularly like the cakes, to be honest with you, for getting birthday cakes. £50 per day.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that sort of sounds like they're having multiple birthdays. Any standouts for you, Lloyd?
Well, if I'm honest, I thought the fines were quite low, to be fair.
Yeah, that's what, like, I was thinking.
It was ridiculous. Like, I've paid more on a stag do. I once had to put £500 in a kitty in Prague for drinking out the wrong hand. So, and I mean, these guys are millionaires. I'm not quite there yet. You heard it here first. So, yeah, I just think that the fines are quite low.
Maybe it's in thousands.
No, yeah, imagine.
500 grand late for training. And they just get it out like the change box in the car.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, I'm not sure it's on there, but I know it was on. Yeah. Late for meeting, walk, or coach on match day. Like, what is the walk? Late for meeting, I get. Late for match day, I get. Where are they going on a walk?
They're going on a walk, Lloyd. It's good. They go and discuss, bonding, you know, philosophy and other you know, higher things. I don't know what they're doing on the walk. Andrew, what about you? What stood out for you?
The only one that's worthy of, that will shake me a bit if I was a footballer, is the sending off, where you have to take the whole team out for a meal. That to me is kind of crazy, because if you go to these places, they eat somewhere in Mayfair or whatever, that could be expensive. But £500 for lateness is like £5. I'd pay that to be late. For an extra hour in bed, I'd pay £500 if I was a millionaire footballer. I think they got off lightly.
You've got to realise that, mate, a meal in Birmingham is so cheap. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so cheap. That's absolutely fine. I doubt Fulham and Chelsea have that in place.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Just bring in some more cakes. It'll be absolutely fine.
Well, next week at 11:30 on BT Sport, the early game is Spurs v Wolves and the highly anticipated middleweight contest of Antonio Conte versus Bruno Lage. You don't even have to do pay-per-view. And while we're on the subject, it all kicked off at the Bridge the other day as Thomas Tuchel and Antonio Conte were both sent off. They've been subsequently charged under Rule E3. Not my favourite rule, I prefer D6. And worse than that, I have no idea what they are, but I think it's something to do with battleships. Worse than that, there was hair pulling, which apparently isn't violent conduct or even a free kick. Lloyd, I haven't pulled someone's hair since I was 8, and she deserved it.
I don't. What you want me to say to that, Ian? Do you know what I mean?
He's trying to get you in trouble, Lloyd. Don't respond.
I know.
Plead the fifth on that one.
It's gone. If I'm honest, you're turning this into Jerry Sadowitz at the Fringe all over again, mate.
I want you to absolve me of any more guilt, Lloyd.
I think you're a good man, Ian. And if I was up in Edinburgh, I'd come and see you at the Counting House every day. I'm losing my hair, like there's no tomorrow. So if I'm playing football and someone tries to grab hair, like, I will go absolutely mad. Because I'm like, mate, I'm trying to keep this in. I reckon 6 months left and then that's it. Absolute Bobby Charlton. Yeah, it was ridiculous as well. And also, what you've got to realise is, these are grown men. Men on TV pulling hair. Like, we always talk about footballers trying to be examples of each other. That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then someone gets, you know, sent off for a headbutting last night. It's like, it's still violent conduct. So
I know what you mean. I did see Koulibaly go up to someone and say, pinch, punch, first of the month, no returns, which I thought was a bit childish as well. The chant about Cucurella, by the way, I believe it is Cucurella, is Cucurella eats paella, drinks Estrella, and his hair is effing massive. I'm not sure what tune, to be honest with you. They haven't really put a lot of thought into that.
I love hearing Thomas Tuchel sound like some mid-19th century German nobleman who's heard that the rules of morning duelling has changed without him being informed. Since when in football do we pull people's hair? We always have, and don't employ people who have more hair than the entire United first team squad, who are now wearing the hair shirt, of course, because Ten Hag has effectively grounded them in the dressing room. It's all kicking off very early in this season. Can it last the distance? That's what I ask.
Do Yeah, that was Ian Moore, who I believe it can last a distance as well. That was Ian Moore. So, after a wait of 23 years, Nottingham Forest are once again back in the Premier League. They had a tough start away at Newcastle last week, but this week it all came together at the City Ground as they beat West Ham 1-0. Lloyd, aside from West Ham having a goal disallowed, hitting the bar twice, missing a penalty and a couple of goal line clearances, it was a comfortable afternoon for Forest.
It was a very comfortable afternoon for Forest in a way that I don't think Steve Cooper wanted it to play out at all. Like, and also, I'm so chuffed that Forest are back in the Premier League, because growing up in like the mid to late 90s, I mean, Forest were a staple Premier League team. Like, they were the stickers in my sticker book. Crossley, Shettle, Inge Haaland, Pierce. So I was buzzing when they like finally got back into the Premier League. You always have that like, I don't know, like sentimentality for teams like Sheffield United and Forest. And what a way to come back. Do you know what I mean? Like the scruffiest goal you will ever score. That was assisted by a scuffed shot from Jesse Lingard. As you say, two post hits, a penalty that was saved, two disallowed goals. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I cannot wait for Nottingham Forest and Jesse Lingard to finish higher than Manchester United this season, which I think is going to happen.
Wow, you heard it here first. That's a big statement. Big Lloyd with a big statement. Love that.
It was. Well, we'll see. I mean, it is. I think what Lloyd said is right. For people of my age, there is something romantic about Forest being back in the Premier League. Tony Blair was the Prime Minister when they were last in the top division, and Space 1999 was a documentary and not a drama. Andrew, as a young fan, do you have any feelings towards Forest? Do you feel the same way as Lloyd?
Not at all, fam. I don't get that. Everyone's talking about Forest being back. I was just thinking, what? Like they're not my... you know, Lloyd was talking about Premier League staples. I think of teams like Bolton or like Charlton who have gone down, or Portsmouth who have gone down. But Nottingham Forest, I can't even remember them being in the Premier, if I'm being honest.
we could tell him anything now, Lloyd.
But that's quite worrying, though, if like your Premier League staples are like Reading and Wigan. They were not the glorious.
I still hark back to the days when Corinthians were riding high. The Forest manager, Steve Cooper, has brought a lot of new players. 14 at the last count.
It's interesting, though, because I always find it interesting when a club comes up and then they make that many changes. Do you feel like it takes away from the DNA of the spirit that got them up in the first place?
Well, I was going to ask you that then, Andrew. I mean, it does make squad cohesion quite difficult. Right, I have a few members of my family that I'm still unsure about name-wise. Do you think name badges would help?
Do you know what? I genuinely think that they would have to have, like, name badges. I mean, if you're bringing in that many people. I also think that Steve Cooper is a really brilliant manager who manages individuals as well as the team. So I'm under no illusions. I reckon that he probably was saying last season, look, if we go up, that's great, but we're probably going to have to bring in people. So it wasn't just a shock that all of a sudden, do you know what I mean? You've essentially got a brand new first team. So I think he would have managed it perfectly. And he's a great manager. I've been a champion of his for a few years now, since the Swansea days, where I kind of came on the radar. And I think he'll manage it effectively. He's brought in some great buys, some under the radar buys. Managed to get Jesse Lingard, a few people in for him. Dean Henderson's a brilliant keeper, as he showed on at the weekend. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And what I loved as well was when the camera thought that it was the end of the game and just did the close-up on Steve Cooper. And Steve went, no, get out of the way. It's not finished yet. Just like patted him away like it was a fly. When it was our man with a massive steady cam on him, he's like, get out, it's not finished yet. Just absolutely, chef's kiss.
Yeah, well, really, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm just glad for Nottingham as a city, really. Forest are a special club. And there were quite a few mentions of Brian Clough looking down on the game, which reminded us of this letter he sent to a soldier who was in the Burns unit of Woolwich Hospital. I won't give you the whole letter, but Clough, who wrote this letter, will come as a surprise to you, and it will be an even bigger surprise when I tell you to get off your backside and get yourself fit, because there's a seat waiting for you at the ground. That's so Cloughy. What a man. Anyway, welcome back, Nottingham Forest. Hopefully slightly less scruffy goals next week. Not that you care. So here at the Football Zone, we're always looking for ways to test the savvy of the BT Sports pundits. So we've come up with a top three challenge for them, a sort of trio of tremendousness. This week, it's Chris Sutton, and we asked him to name his top three Premier League teams.
At three, Blackburn Rovers 94-95, the SAS, Kenny Dalglish's manager. Brilliant what Jack Walker did for the club, but Blackburn Rovers is my number three. At number two, Arsenal. Not the Invincibles, the 97-98 team. They were a better team than the Invincibles. Petit, Vieira, Bergkamp, Ian Wright, what a brilliant team they were. But at number one, it has to be Manchester United, 98-99. That Cole-York partnership, the best partnership I've ever seen in the Premier League. They were an incredible team, swashbuckling, and the best Premier League team ever.
Yeah, OK. I mean, we can't really argue with that choice. A couple of things I'd like to say. Andrew, I like that he chose a team that he played for, first of all, Blackburn 94-95.
And name-checked himself as well.
And also, by the way, the Arsenal 97-98 team. Blackburn beat us at Highbury 3-1 around Christmas, and that propelled us forward. So I like that. I imagine Blackburn also beat the Man United treble team in 98-99. But choosing a team you play for, Andrew, there's confidence, isn't there?
I wouldn't call it confidence. I'll call it shamelessness. and I like that. I like that from him. I like the fact that he's shameless with it. Because the fact that he can put that Blackburn team in the top three is actually it's criminal. Let's just keep it real, guys. Yeah. I love Chris Sutton, but that was a criminal take right there. I can't lie. That was criminal.
Lloyd, would you agree? I mean, I like that Blackburn team. They had two great forwards. They had Jason Wilcox. They had a couple of other players, decent players. Do you think they're really in the top three Premier League teams?
Not at all. I mean, no. Most people, no offence, would have forgotten that Blackburn won the Premier League. If you ask 50 people, what are your top three Premier League sides? Maybe one is putting it in there, and that is Chris Sutton. Yeah. Also, as well, I like the way he went, look, I'm putting in the Arsenal 97-98 team. Not the Invincible teams, because they weren't a better team. Like, statistically, they were.
They were, man.
Wow.
Like, you've basically just gone, yeah, I'm not going to listen to statistics. I'm just going to go with who I quite like the look of. So, I agree with the Man United, Manchester United, that obviously, you know, they won everything that season. But, I mean, I don't think Blackburn is in the same ilk. You know what I mean? If you're doing that, then you have to put Leicester in there as well.
I think that's a very good point. Yeah,
Leicester,
actually.
Are better.
Leicester would be a great call, seeing as, you know, no one expected them. I mean, Blackburn did spend £60 million on a couple of strikers. I get it with the Arsenal team, by the way, Andrew. That 97-98 team had Nicolas Anelka, Vieira and Petit. I mean, it was a fantastic team, and very powerful. And it was the first time we'd seen the Arsene Wenger sort of iteration of that team. But you know what? I think he's right. You can't argue with the United treble winning lot, can you?
I think you can still. I think you can.
Oh,
what?
I think you can. Okay. I think you can argue still.
Sorry, what?
I think you can.
Why?
Because it's a different era, yeah? And I'm not going to lie, I love the 08 team, United. With Tevez, Rooney and Ronaldo. I think that team beats the 99 team. Talk to me.
Sorry, that's also come from the man that says he misses Charlton in the Premier League. Okay. So I'm not entirely sure.
Come on, guys. You know that team beats the 99 team. The ferociousness.
The Charlton team?
Not the Charlton. No, clear off, man. Okay.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I think that, I mean, I think any team with Tevez, Rooney and Ronaldo up front is going to cause problems. But that 98-99 team, they had a sort of steel and a fight about them. This is the debate. And we are going to be doing this every week, by the way. We're going to get our pundits to come up with their trio of tremendousness. Talking of tremendous, my team Arsenal have made a decent start to the season and raised the hopes of their fans that this can be a successful campaign. Fans of certain other clubs may find the recently released All or Nothing documentary about last season slightly more entertaining. Lloyd, do you like these docs? I mean, I didn't watch the Tottenham one because I didn't want to like the team or the players.
Yeah, no, do you know what? I've not watched any of them, to be fair.
Wow.
Just because, you know, I'm so busy. But my mum's been watching the All or Nothing one. I went back home last week and she was like, have you been watching the Arsenal documentary? I was like, no. And I think over the course of 4 days, she mentioned the name Mikel Arteta maybe 50 times. And for a woman that's not really into football, it's quite disconcerting. I reckon the next time I go home, like picture frames around the house are going to have me removed and Mikel Arteta put in there. And also as well, I think Mikel Arteta is like the perfect like stock photo model, do you know what I mean? With his like perfect hair. You know when you get a picture frame and it's already got like a family
yeah,
in there?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They look like Mikel Arteta. That person, you know what I mean, with his like pristine hair that doesn't move an absolute millimetre, with his roll neck there. So yeah, you know, I'm fully expecting in a few months' time to go home and Mikel Arteta's my stepdad. So I've not watched it, but I will get round to it once all this work's finished, which can't stop coming in.
I do love the idea of you like your graduation photo, but Mikel Arteta's there instead of you.
Sorry,
also,
graduation
can
photo.
I say in the most respectful way possible, I love your mum. Is that all right?
Yeah. Have you met her?
No.
Wow.
No, but she's loving Mikel Arteta, so that's okay. Andrew.
Oh, right, got you.
Yeah. Andrew, some people have said that knowing what happened to Arsenal last season means there's no suspense. I mean, I don't know about that. I watched The Day of the Jackal the other week, and spoiler alert, you know he doesn't kill De Gaulle, but it's still incredibly tense. Same for Titanic.
Yeah, I think, I don't think you watch those shows just because you want to know what the outcome is, but it's more the intricate details and the player's mindset.
Yeah.
Like there's a bit in it where Saka's talking about how he went to Waitrose and he had his mask and his hood up and he come out and then all the Waitrose stuffs wanting pictures
sweet.
Of him.
So sweet, wasn't it?
So I love hearing that stuff and then like just seeing how, because you can see the conflicting characters in the changing room. So like someone like, you know, Saka is like really humble, but then like Aubameyang comes in driving a car the same colour that he's of the clothes he's wearing. So he's wearing a gold tracksuit and then he has a gold Lamborghini and just parking it in. Yeah. And it's just mad to see how these, all of these conflicting characters and personalities come together in a team and how the team works. So I think just the intricate details of those documentaries is why people watch it rather than being like, oh, what's going to happen?
There's actually a new documentary coming out this week. It's the Wrexham documentary. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's like we bought the league with Hollywood money. that's the one I will watch because, spoiler alert, Grimsby absolutely took Wrexham to the cleaners. So I'll be looking forward to watching that over and over and over again. Thank you very much, Ryan Reynolds.
Lloyd, would you like to see one for Grimsby?
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah, I would absolutely love to see that. Yeah.
I think it'll be only Lloyd that watches that.
Andrew, Aaron Ramsdale's dad has become one of the heroes of the piece. I mean, it can't be easy watching your kid play Premier League football. I used to get massively stressed watching my son play Sunday League.
Mm. Yeah, my dad was a pushy guy as well. I used to hate watching my dad coming to watch me play Sunday League, man, because he would just grill me. Any bad touch,
really?
He would get onto me. So I feel for Ramsdale right now.
Well, there's pressure and then there's pressure. All right, let's have a game of Who Am I? Basically, the way it works, I give our panellists some clues and they have to guess who I'm talking about.
Talk to me.
Here are the clues. Despite being one of the highest Premier League goal scorers of all time, I only scored once for my country.
What?
I have played for both Manchester United and Manchester City, and I was part of the Blackburn side that won the club's first and only League Cup in 2001-2002. Who am I? We'll let you know the answer after the break, when we'll also talk about DJs at football grounds and the price of a pint around the country.
Hello, Charlie Baker here with a little Vanarama National League update for you, greatest league in the world. We have got Boreham Wood 2, tiny little Boreham Wood 2, Notts County, huge team, too big for the division. They spent a lot of money this summer. They're going to go straight back up now. That's it. They've learned their lesson. Back up they go. Going to beat these tiny little tin pot teams. They scored 2 as well. So that's Boreham Wood 2, Notts County 2. And we've got Maidenhead 3. Little Maidenhead there. Little part-time, not so long ago. Maidenhead 3. Scunthorpe, just big English league team, of course. Just come down out of the league. They're going to bounce straight back up. Too big for the division. They got 2 there. So Maidenhead 3, Scunthorpe 2. you've been National Leagued. And also Yeovil, tiny little Yeovil down there in the West Country. Of course, they got one goal, and Wrexham, big Hollywood spenders, just going to trounce the league, win it by 20 points by Easter. Absolutely trounce the league. They also got one. There we are. So Yeovil won, Wrexham won. There we are. You've been National Leagued. As I say, the National League, the greatest division in the world. Let's go.
Yes, that was Charlie Baker extolling the virtues of the National League, the greatest league in the world. So, I asked who am I and gave you these three clues. Despite being one of the highest Premier League goal scorers of all time, I only scored once for my country. I have played for both Manchester United and Manchester City, and I was part of the Blackburn side that won the club's first and only League Cup in 2001-2002. Who am I? Andrew, do you have any clues? You were a bit unsure, but now you're thinking maybe.
Nah, Uncle Ian, I don't know, you know, I don't know, but if I, I'm going to take a guess, innit? I'm going to take a wild guess. I'm going to say Teddy Sheringham.
It's, do you know what? You're not far off, but no, that is wrong. Lloyd?
Well, only a few players that played for both. Peter Schmeichel being one of them, but he didn't score that many goals. I'm going to go with Andrew Cole.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Lloyd. Very, very good. Very good. Andy, it was Cole, the striker that Teddy Sheringham never spoke to. And vice versa for about 4 years. It was indeed Andrew Cole. Nice one. You do get a chance, Andrew, to get your own back in the quiz in a short
Lloyd,
while.
Lloyd, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you, bro.
Nah,
all right, keep it calm, lads. You know, as if spending £500 million on some of the prime talent in world football is not enough, we now hear that a DJ booth has been installed in the south stand at the Etihad to help provide entertainment to Manchester City fans, because heaven forbid they should be able to talk to each other about the game for 15 minutes during a half-time break. Andrew, do you like all this music and football grounds? Don't we want a moment of quiet contemplation before kickoff at halftime, maybe?
I don't know, you know. I was with you, but I went to see Ajax one time, and they had a whole kind of like band. They had drummers and everything, and I remember the atmosphere just being electric after that. So I don't know how the DJ, chicky chicky DJ, is going to work if it's just like a guy playing tunes, like house tunes on that, or if they're going to mix it into like the chants and stuff. But if it's just a guy playing tunes, house tunes, like, we don't need that. Do you know what I mean? But if they can make it as part of that, the crowd experience, I think that would be sick, if I'm being real.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm not convinced. Lloyd, do you think you need banging house to get you in the mood for a local derby?
No, right? We get rid of the DJ. I think we take it one step further. Organist. Okay, hear me out. So in America, obviously like baseball, basketball, they have an organist. And it's usually like a resident organist. So I'm just saying, let's just say it's Manchester. You get the organist from Manchester Cathedral. He's probably not working on a Saturday, do you know what I mean? Just say, look, defensive, earning a little bit of extra keep. And then he's there. They get a Wurlitzer organ in the corner of the stadium. And then things like corners, free kicks. Go! So I think DJs, you know, but organs the way forward, okay? And that, I've always been saying that my whole life.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Organs.
While we're on the subject of Manchester City, their new superstar striker Erling Haaland had 8 touches against Bournemouth at the weekend. It's actually only 8 more than me. Andrew, City won 4-0, so it didn't hurt them that much. But assuming they're paying him £250,000 a week, do you think £40,000 a touch is good value for money? That's actually, the maths is wrong there.
the maths is so wrong.
Yeah.
But I think we should keep that in.
Do you know what, yeah?
What do you think?
I'm not too mad at the 8 touches. You know why? Because there's a chance early on in the game that if Foden squares it to him, he has a tap-in. So that would have been 9 touches with a goal and an assist. That, to me, is high value. Good. You know what I mean? So it's not about the touches. It's about the effectiveness of the touches. So if he could get that 9th touch if Foden just squares it to him, then he's got a goal and an assist of only 9 touches. That's That's value for money.
Pep Guardiola actually was quite forgiving about that because he said that Foden didn't know he was there because they haven't played with a number nine for about 10 years. Mm. So maybe there's something in that. But I remember, Lloyd, Romelu Lukaku only getting 7 touches for Chelsea last year and everyone going, what a waste of money. I mean, you know, it's not that much difference. Or is there a big difference?
Yeah, there is a big difference. I think this is a massive difference.
It's a massive
difference. Haaland has been touted as the best player in the world. No offence to Romelu Lukaku, especially if he's watching, but he wasn't touted as the best player in the world. He just had a good season in Italy. Yeah. So, I think it's completely different. But also, like, if you're Haaland, that's great. That's an absolute touch. Mm. That's like me turning up to do a comedy gig and doing 3 jokes, which is actually, to be fair, just run of the mill, really. I mean, a lot of audience chat, names. 3 jokes, standing ovation, crowd surf, good night, see you later.
Meanwhile, in East London, West Ham United are threatening to sue the owners of the London Stadium over the price of a pint of beer, which is currently a scandalous £7.30. There is actually a league table of the price of a pint.
One pint, £7.30.
I'm sure Man United fans will be glad to see them top of at least one table, but I think even there, the basic thinking is that they have to dull the pain somehow, so let's make it cheap and easy for them. Andrew, London doesn't come out particularly well in this comparison. Pretty much all the London teams in the bottom half of the table. I'm told that at Chelsea, they're cheaper inside the ground than outside because of where the ground's situated.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just think they should just make it the cheap, as you said, the cheapest are the teams that are doing the worst.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just so you should always change on form. So right now, City should be at the bottom of the table because you don't really need to get plastered when your team is doing well. United should be at the top. Because you might as well, as you said, you might as well drown your sorrows when you go to Old Trafford right now.
City don't need alcohol. They've got a DJ.
Exactly.
Lloyd, how much is a pint at Grimsby?
Well, it's relatively priced. It's very relatively and competitively priced as well in Grimsby. I don't know how much the pints are because they just get bought for me when I turn up at Blundell Park. But obviously, that's a joke. I do pay for my own drinks. We've got a great little fan zone, like a Doc's Beers fan zone. And I think it's like maybe like £3 a pint. Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely brilliant. It's great. Yeah, so it's very competitively priced. But on Andrew's kind of like point, I think that, you know, as the months go on at Old Trafford, I think the prices of the pints are just going to keep coming down and down and down as they get worse. So you get to like February, it's going to be like 3 and 6 for a pint of mild. And then it gets like May, everyone's been so battered watching like Man United. They're like, what just happened in that season? They're like, oh, it doesn't matter, but we're in the championship. Do you want to buy a season ticket? Yes, please. Yeah. Okay, let's go again.
I think by the end of the season, they'll be selling hard liquor instead of pints, man.
Yeah.
It's a possibility, to be honest with you. I mean, I also wonder if fans of other clubs might turn up to watch United just so they can get cheap beer to stay in the concourse the whole time. Now it's time for our quiz, Call Yourself a Fan. 3 questions on the weekend's action and 2 on general football knowledge. As he's making his debut, we'll allow Andrew first dibs. You ready, Andrew?
I'm not sure, actually. Lloyd's putting me under pressure, but I'm ready.
Well, we're doing it anyway. How many teams, Andrew, failed to score in the Premier League on Saturday? Was it 2, 4 or 6?
Two, four, or I want to say 4.
You should have said 6. Andrew, it's 6. 6 teams failed to score in the Premier League on Saturday. 0 out of 1. All right. William Saliba scored an own goal v Leicester this weekend. But how many minutes did it take for the Arsenal to reply to make it 3-1? Was it 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes?
Oh, my days. You're trying to kill me on my debut, innit?
No.
Give me the options again.
2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes. How long did it take us?
I'm going 3 minutes. I'm going 3 minutes.
3 minutes. You're saying 3 minutes.
I'm going 3 minutes.
Yeah, you should have said 2 minutes, mate. Granit Xhaka passed the ball into an empty net after a strange bit of keeping from Danny Ward. It was terrible.
Oh, my God, man.
Oh, not a good start for Andrew. Southampton drew 2-2 with Leeds at St Mary's on Saturday. But how many of the goals were in the second half, Andrew? Was it 4, 3 or 2? Has Andrew watched any of the games this weekend?
I'm a busy man. I'm a busy man like Lloyd, man. I was out here. It's my birthday weekend, isn't it? So my mind was elsewhere.
It was his birthday weekend, Lloyd, and we get a fine £50 each for not bringing cake.
I'm gonna say four. I'm gonna say four.
And he got it right. He got it right. All four goals. Southampton came back from 2-0 down. One out of three.
Come on.
Okay, a couple of slightly more historical questions. Who scored the equaliser that secured the Premier League title when Chelsea hosted Spurs in the first Battle of the Bridge? Was it Diego Costa, Gary Cahill, or Eden Hazard?
The equalising goal was Hazard.
It was a wonderful goal. Beautiful bit of skill
just
on the halfway
whipped
line.
Whipped it like
Returned
this, isn't it? Yeah, I remember that one.
With a curl. That was essentially the only thing he did that season, and it stopped Tottenham winning the title.
Battle of the Bridge. Fair enough. That was a proper goal.
It was Hazard with a curled effort that completed the home side's comeback. 2 out of 4. And the last question. Who was the first Premier League player to have a goal ruled out by VAR? Was it Jamie Vardy, Gabriel Jesus, or Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang?
Wow. I'm going to go to Aubameyang.
Yeah, well, it was Gabriel Jesus. Yes. Thought he had made it 3-0 v West Ham, but VAR adjudged that Raheem Sterling was offside in the build-up. That was 2 out of 5 for Andrew. It could have got worse, to be honest with you.
It could have got worse, though, but I scraped some points on the board. It's cool. I don't think Lloyd's got this, though.
Okay, Lloyd, who got the assist for Harry Kane's late equaliser versus Chelsea? Was it Dejan Kulusevski, Ivan Perisic, or Lucas Moura?
Perisic. Next question.
It was.
I don't like how confident he was there still. I don't like that.
He was confident. He was. But he got it right. I think it's okay to be confident when you're correct. He took the corner with his weak foot. Okay, second question. Who had a goal controversially disallowed for West Ham away at Nottingham Forest on Sunday? Was it Jared Bowen, Pablo Fornals, or Saïd Benrahma?
Saïd Benrahma, next question.
Oh, Andrew, you're in trouble here. 2 out of 2.
It's not how you start, still. It's not how you start.
Yeah. That's true. Third question. Who scored Brentford's opening goal in their rout of Manchester United? Was it Ivan Toney, Josh De Silva, or Brian Mbeumo?
Josh De Silva. Next question.
Did I send you the answers by mistake?
See, Lloyd, if you was if you was a real confident guy, you would have got that question wrong and then had fun with it. Do you know what I mean?
strung you along.
Look, I actually watched the football at the weekends, Andrew. Do you know what I mean? You might want to try it instead of drinking mojitos on your birthday weekend, pal.
You got it right. 3 out of 3.
I'm watching Carl in the pub, mate.
Going well. All right. Who did Gabriel Jesus score 4 goals against at the end of last season? Was it Watford, Norwich, or Leicester City?
Ooh. I mean, I've already won, so I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Let's have fun with it, man.
I would say Watford.
It was as well. We've never had a 5 out of 5.
If he gets 5 out of 5, guys, I'm never watching football again. I'm going to retire.
He scored. Well, it doesn't sound like you watched a lot of the weekend, to be honest. He scored 4 and he assisted 1 in a 5-1 win. Okay, the last question for Lloyd to get a 100%. Who was Nottingham Forest's top scorer when they got relegated from the Premier League in 98-99? Was it Marlon Harewood, Dougie Freeman, or Pierre Van Hooijdonk?
Van Hooijdonk. What a throwback.
I'm going to say, purely because I'm pals with him, Marlon Harewood.
Oh, it was Dougie Freeman. Oh Lloyd. Dougie Freeman scored 9 in 31 games as they finished bottom of the table. But Lloyd won at 4 out of 5. That is really one of the best scores we've ever had. Nice work, Lloyd. And a fine victory for you. So, Each week, Mark Simmons will give us a rundown on a Sunday League football team, the catchily named Newcastle United Supporters Club London. This week, he met some of the players.
Hello, my name's Mark Simmons, and each week I'm going to be following the Newcastle United Supporters Club Sunday League football team. First up, let's see who's going to be controlling things in the midfield.
Hello, my name's Kieran, and I play centre mid.
So Kieran, tell me, how did the team start, and what's with the name?
I don't know where it comes from, but it is what it is, that's what they decided, so it's stuck since the 60s, so we can't change it now, can we?
Stupid name. Anyway, let's meet the next player.
My name is Ben, I'm a wide midfielder.
So Ben, do you have any pre-game rituals?
Cold shower, isotonic drink, steak bake, and then just slap myself on the gob. It works every time,
I like the cut of your jib, mate. Who's next?
I'm George.
I'm Freddie.
I'm a goalkeeper.
I'm a left back.
And we're brothers.
Right, boys, what does winning mean to you?
We don't win often.
I think you've joined the Sunday League side and all you care about is winning, it's not the place for you. No. If you care about a pint, it's the place for you.
Yeah, but we need to start winning this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. I'm not backing a dead horse here. Who's the last player?
My name's Malcolm. I'm a member of the Newcastle United Supporters Club London and I play it right back.
So, how do you think you'll do this season?
I should say it's about the team as a whole, of course. It's not about individuals. We're a team sport. We win together, we lose together, and we draw together.
Ooh, team spirit. So, boys, who are we playing first?
Next up, it's AC Milan, away.
Come on!
What are you doing, Mark?
Oh, it's AC Milan Supporters Club next week, so I'm just booking some flights to Italy.
Yes, we've met some of the players. Cold shower, isotonic drink, steak bake, and then I smack myself in the gob. Yeah, I mean, Andrew, you said that your dad was quite hard on you playing Sunday League. Did you sort of dread it a little bit?
Yeah, when I was a kid, but now I'm a Sunday League legend. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone knows.
If you say so yourself.
No, I'm a Sunday League legend, trust me. I'm like big time now. For my club, for my team, I only play like cup like semi-finals and finals now, innit? Like they save me. They save my legs for the big...
Bring on the Mensa.
For the big occasions now. Yeah.
What position do you play?
I play centre mid, you know, just dictating. I play like a Cambiasso. That's my vibe now. Just get it, shift it.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Experience, innit? You know what I mean?
Camembert.
No, not Camembert. No. Cambiasso, the Argentinian international, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Lloyd, we played in a game together where we lost about 15-0, didn't we, to the Dulwich Hamlet youth team, who just were a little quick.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Ian. Your Wi-Fi is dropping out, I think.
Yeah. Was Lloyd in goal?
Yes. Lloyd was in goal. Sorry, Lloyd.
I think it's my 15. Wi-Fi that's dropping out, actually, because I can't hear.
You can see this 15 goals, bro.
And I say 15, it could have been anything. We stopped counting after a while.
To be fair, I knew that. That's why I knew that. That's why I let him win the quiz, isn't it? Just to build some confidence back.
So that's all for the footballs on this week. Join us next week, where we'll have a replacement for Ian Stone. Thanks for watching.
Well, he's not wrong, ladies and gentlemen. That is it for the footballs on. This week, thanks to Andrew Mensah, Lloyd Griffith and Mark Simmons. We'll be back at the same time next week.